NASA 557, contact tower 128.15.
Caution, caution. Manual, fuel, manual, fuel.
I'm John Golia.
I'm Greg Fife.
And I'm Todd Curtis.
And we are the Flight Safety Detectives.
Between us, we have over a century of aviation accident investigation and safety experience to draw on as we discuss issues that affect all of us.
So we are qualified to share our perspectives on accidents and incidents and what can be learned from them for the future.
We're proud to say that we have two sponsors that really relate to the topic of aviation safety: the Professional Aviation Maintenance Association, or PAMA, and Avemco Insurance. Later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can get a 5% discount on your insurance just for listening to the show.
We don't just dissect the official reports. In every episode, we identify safety issues and take the mystery out of accident investigations.
So maybe pilots and their planes can have safer flights ahead.
Well, hello, gentlemen. It is another episode of Flight Safety Detectives. I seem to be always missing in action. You guys have had some good shows, and of course, I'm listening while I'm on the road. So I'm glad that you're filling in for me. Today, I'm going to be the voice of God, if you will, because I'm traveling once again. But I want to make sure that I participated in this show because I think it's not only an important show, but it's going to be an educational show. We're going to turn the table a little bit and talk about safety and safety awards and what they all mean in aviation. I'm exercising the highest levels of ground safety because I'm driving. So I am not going to divert my attention by turning on my camera so that I can look pretty on the show. So it's good to see you guys as usual. And I know that we all just got back from a really great competition that John should be very proud of, involving mechanics from not only here in the United States, but around the world. So kudos to you, John, for putting out an outstanding show again this year. And it sounds like it's going to get even bigger next year.
It certainly is going to grow. We're looking to expand to the NBAA, as well as the helicopter folks, the vertical lift people. And it looks like we're going to go international with a program in Singapore next year.
Outstanding. Well, I want to get right into it for our audience. I think this is just a great discussion, just to change the program up a little bit, because we talk safety, we speak safety, we're always dissecting accidents and trying to promote safety. As a safety advocate, we're trying to develop the lessons learned when we look at accidents and incidents and some of the issues that are going on in today's aviation. But I know that the audience, and of course, a lot of people even in aviation, don't know the importance of awards, not just awards to give an award for heroics, which when you look at what happened with Captain Sully and Jeff Skiles and what they did with the Miracle on the Hudson, you know, that's admirable and that should be awarded. But that is not sustaining into the future. Those are one-offs, if you will. They're there, and it really doesn't do anything to enhance aviation other than to heighten the awareness of pilots and the fact that you can be successful under a certain situation like that to ditch a commercial airliner, which has been done in the past, both successfully and unsuccessfully. But when we look at the awards that are issued for really recognizing not only people, but organizations who have contributed long-term in aviation and aviation safety, one of the awards is the Laura Tabor Barber Award. And while, you know, it's like, who's that and what's that award for? We have a special guest with us today that, John, I want you to introduce Henry, because I think that Henry's story, his contributions, and of course, his leadership for this award will be of interest to the audience.
Well, okay. So we have Henry Gorgi with us today. He is one of the movers and shakers behind the Laura Taylor Barber Award. And he has spent a career in aviation, and presently he's a representative to ICAO. He's been a representative to ICAO. Now he's working with ICAO, trying to make aviation better around the world. And what better person to be part of this award than somebody who has an international reach. So we want to explain the award, what it means, and see if we can get more participants into the pipeline for this award. So with that, Henry, I'll let you make some sort of an opening statement or just say hello and tell us about the award.
Well, thank you so much, John and Todd and Greg. It's great to be here. And that was a wonderful introduction and about reason why it's so important to have an award. But firstly, I just want to start off just kudos to the three of you for this podcast and everything you've done. And that's all part of how I segue into introducing the award. But your passion on aviation and what you've done just to be able to come up with more than 200 episodes, I don't know where you get all the energy to do that. And amongst all the other volunteer work that you do is quite incredible. And that that competition, which I was reading up on it just the other day, and it's mind-boggling with what you're able to do on a part-time basis to be able to come up with that. So kudos to all of you on that. So the award, and I'm glad with that introduction that you mentioned the importance of having a safety award. You know, the way I see it, everyone who gets involved in the field of aviation, the majority of us, it's not just a job, it becomes a passion. We're passionate in this field. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why aviation has become so safe today. You know, whether it's working with, you know, people working at aerodromes or air traffic services and airlines, maintenance organizations, whether you're in business or as business aviation, general aviation, whether you come from working as a regulator or your backgrounds at acts investigation, we always strive to reduce risks. And you just the introduction talked about that, reducing risks, analyzing incidents, determining causes, and that's all linked to this whole podcast that you do. But all this is to make aviation safer. And, you know, for 2023, the Flight Safety Foundation came out with its report. IATA's come out with its annual report as well for 2023. There has been no hull losses or fatal accidents involving passenger jets globally in 2023. And actually, we've seen downward trends of accidents and fatal accidents in the last 7-8 years, we've been seeing downward trends in accidents. So all this is to say that there are remarkable men and women and groups of people, entities working together who make this happen. And they need to be recognized. And that's why there are a few international safety awards out there. Whether you're going through ICAO, they offer some awards, and Boeing has awards, some various OEMs would have them. The Flight Safety Foundation, they have a few that are posted on its website. They have, just to name a few, the David Morrison Innovation Award. You got the Gloria Heath Trophy, Jerome Lederer Safety Leadership Medal. And there's others, and they also have, and most of them have scholarships, which I really will talk a little bit about that too, but that's something that others should really take advantage of. But the one I really want to talk about to you today and let the listeners know about is the Laura Taylor Barber Award. And I do chair the award committee of that foundation, and yeah, I'd like to now just tell you a little bit more why that particular award is so special. Now, that award, the Laura Taylor Barber Award, has been issued for the past 68 years. Quite incredible, since in the 40s. And in fact, in the first 10 years of the award, they issued more than one in some times and some in some occasions. But basically 68 years, this award's been issued once every year. It's very prestigious, and it recognizes the original and remarkable contributions that people or entities can make in the field of aviation safety. Doesn't have to be civil aviation, could be military as well, and could cover any scope relating to contributing to aviation safety. So whether it's method or design, whether it's invention through a, through creating a supplemental type certificate for something, study or other any other advancement is something to be considered. And I would say that what makes this particular award quite special are a few things. One is the history and how this award came about, and it's a remarkable story that that I will share with you. And the list of award recipients, if you actually go to the website, and I'll mention you the web link to the for the Laura Tabor Barbara Award, or you can even Google it. But and you look on the website on the list of all the award recipients, it's quite humbling, and to see also all the different types of names that are there, and it's nice to see those people, and I'm sure that you would recognize some of these names. One of them is John himself. He was a 2020 recipient. Finally, magical part or about the special about this award is the Barber family themselves, who created this Barber Foundation. And I can go into the history of that if you like.
Especially the history of the scholarship portion of it, which we found very interesting. Last year, there are 22 scholarships the foundation gave out to 11 different institutions.
That's right. And the plan is they will be issuing more more awards as the years every year. They're issuing, like you said, they just did that last year. Again, the same amount of awards are going to be offered this year. The intent is, of course, to continue this going. They do need donations and need some good donors out there. So it is something to please keep in mind. Scholarships are extremely important for the young, for the youth, and they're our future. And we do need to invest in them. The issuing scholarships only came about in the last couple of years as the Laura Tabor Barber became a foundation itself. So let me just tell you a little bit about its history. This all came about in 1945, and that was Miss Laura Tabor Barber. She was on a DC-3 flight at the time with 16 other passengers. So there were 17 passengers in total and three crew. The airline passed through bad weather and the plane crashed in some bad terrain as well. All on board perished. A year later, the Civil Aeronautics Board, that's what it was called at the time, they concluded the accident was caused by pilot error. And of course the contributing factors was the bad weather as well. In the years following the accident, what happened was an award was established in Laura's memory by her husband, Dr. Barber, and their son, Cliff. So they both became very close friends at the time with the founders of the Flight Safety Foundation. That's how the Flight Safety Foundation, where I'm currently working, got involved in this. At that time, the founder is Jerry Lederer. Those who knew the name, he's the Mr. Aviation Safety at the time. He was the director of the Civil Aeronautics Board. They became good friends with Gloria Heath. She was one of the aviation safety pioneers, and she was a member of the, the Women's Air Force Service Pilots, the WASPs. And I think she flew the B-26 bombers, and women aviation being one of the women pioneers in aviation, she's done a lot of firsts as a woman in aviation. With that friendship and the involvement with the Flight Safety Foundation, for the next 68 years, the Laura Tabor Barber Award Committee reviews nominations and vote each year on recipients for that for the award. The Flight Safety Foundation itself graciously hosted an annual event and continues to this day. On the annual event, the International Aviation Safety Summit would announce the recipient of the award. The Flight Safety Foundation administered the award, but in 2013, when the Laura Tabor Barber Foundation was created, so it became more formalized. It grew with a number of volunteers and board members, and now the foundation itself, the Laura Tabor Barber Air Safety Foundation, administers the award, and the history was born with that. The foundation continues to this day. As I said, the Flight Safety Foundation hosts it, the event, and issues the award at the ISS Summit, which is going to happen this year in Rio from 5 to 7 November as well.
Henry, yeah. Can I just ask a question? You know, the award recipients, if they are organizations or even individuals, how is that money spent then for the award, or at least the scholarship money that that is awarded?
So the scholarships are something separate, because now that there is a foundation. It's been expanded to not just issuing an award. The award is one thing, and then we have a committee that looks at for scholarships as well. There was one really major generous donor as well. So the foundation is pretty healthy, but it's not wanting to deplete its main funding that it has received. So it's really working on the funds that have been invested, and that those the amount that's generated is what's used for the scholarships. And we always have to evaluate on a yearly basis how much has come in donations, and to be able to strive to continue with the scholarships. But as for the award, it is always issued. There is a small honorarium that is provided to the recipient. They pay the travel as well to make sure that they can attend the IASS event to receive such an award. The certificate and how it's the award itself is spectacular. It's I can tell you quite a bit about the certificate, the citation. It's not, I shouldn't call it a certificate, a citation. And it has actual gold lettering, and it's actually pure gold that's laced in the writing with calligraphy. It's hand cited. So it's really an incredible citation that is given to the award recipient. And it what's important is it doesn't have to be the committee is looking at all type of nominations. What we do ask for is obviously you can't be self-nominated. Someone has to nominate you. They do have to write up why you are being nominated. They do have to give some background information about the person being nominated, and the committee will take a look at this. So it could be an individual, it could be a group of individuals who have worked on something together, and the committee looks at all of this. So it doesn't have to be a top CEO. It's just what you have done. Has it made a significant contribution for the piece that you're working on to enhance safety. So that's what the award is. And as for the scholarships, it was created in 2018. There is a scholarship committee. And as you rightly pointed out, 22 scholarships across 11 colleges and universities were issued in 2023. The same amount is aimed to be issued for this year, and we'd like this to continue.
And but just for those who want to support the organization, the foundation, it's U.S.-based 501c3, so it's a tax-deductible contribution for those who want to make that.
Thank you. That's a very good point. I'm not American, so I didn't know all those American details. But I'm glad you clarified that. And it's also one thing to mention about the award as well. It's global. It's a global award, and it is promoted through LinkedIn. It's promoted through the Laura Tabor Barber website. ICAO is promoting it through its network as well. So it has a global reach out, and it'd be great to get others to nominate someone. I think that's the biggest challenge when it comes to any award is there's a lot of deserving individuals out there, but it always takes someone to nominate someone. And it's hard for people to find the time these days, but it's worth it. It's important for people to be recognized and for all the great work that we've done in aviation.
You know, on the nomination side or on the award side, I read a while ago, maybe a year ago, how many scholarships in the U.S. that go unawarded because people don't even put in for them. And you know, it's lack of knowledge, I'm sure. But I was very shocked with the number. The number was in four digits. So it was five digits. So it was more than 10,000 scholarships that went empty.
You know, it's no surprise. And the same thing would happen in, I see it on your northern border in Canada. I used to be in the military, so I'm part of a separate military foundation and we issue scholarships. And very few people apply. The money is there. We're ready to issue it. And very few people apply for these scholarships. So to all the listeners out there, you see the scholarships, you've worked hard, you're working hard even to pay for your education, and you're an achiever, you're a go-getter, just fill out the application, especially for scholarships. And if they ask for an essay, write an essay and explain, answer the questions. And you'd be surprised. You might just be awarded a scholarship. And it's something that we all need the help when we can get the help. And we all, if it's definitely in the area of aviation, we want you to succeed. We want it to only get better in aviation to increase safety. ICAO's goal for an aspirational goal is zero fatalities, zero accidents, not zero fatalities, zero accidents. It's an aspirational goal, but we all have to try to achieve it.
And speaking of your experience with ICAO, you're in a unique position compared to us here on the show in that you have directly worked with an international organization associated with the UN that reaches to virtually every country on earth, including several countries which are not exactly friendly with one another. Yet when it comes to issues of aviation safety, there's a common thread in that those sorts of things can be set aside and have been set aside for decades. And you know, I'd love to hear some of your inside experiences seeing that in action.
You know, that's a very good point you raised, and that's exactly the spirit of the convention of ICAO, right? And what's really, that's a separate podcast in itself. There's a lot that can be said about the convention and ICAO, but the interesting thing is when the convention was drafted, it's called Chicago Convention. It was drafted in Chicago, but it was done in 1947, and all the number of states then which was about 56 or 50, I forget how many, because it was before decolonization. But what's incredible today is that convention back then, when all you had was piston aircraft, just starting to get into the jet aircraft, the convention and all its articles, whether to do with licensing, certificate of airworthiness, registration, air transport, accident investigations, the convention's articles to this day have not changed. They're still valid today in the complex environment we're in. And the spirit of it is exactly what you said. Doesn't matter on the country and where it's located, everyone for the spirit of safety and security as well would adhere to that convention. Now,
Many of us in aviation
hey.
understand Annex 13, which is the most familiar one.
Oh God. Yes. And that's for accident investigators, a lot of them, it's Annex 13 that is carried with them. That's what's being followed. But today with the geopolitics that we have now and all the problems with sanctions and the wars and invasions, you end up getting sanctions on aviation and aviation, and it does impact safety, and that in itself is a different topic. The Flight Safety Foundation, that's where I'm working now for the last 3 years. I retired from ICAO and now I'm working with the foundation. But that's an area that we are promoting of we're doing quite a bit of we did a white paper that's published on our website, but how sanctions are impacting or can impact aviation safety, and that is a concern.
Well, Henry, you just talked yourself into one or two or more additional podcasts, because I'd love to explain to our listeners the ins and outs of ICAO and the ins and outs of Flight Safety Foundation, and so you just signed up. You're coming back.
I love it. You just have to stop me, because I end up, once I start talking, I just keep on talking. So
Hey, Henry, got a question for you. Other than John, who has been, some of the past awardees, and what were they awarded for?
okay, but can't we just talk about John?
No.
No, well, for one is the chair person of the Laura Tabor Barber Foundation, Miss Nancy Graham. She was an award recipient back in I think 2017 or so, 2018. And again, that's all her work that she's been doing when she was in ICAO. She was actually the director of the Air Navigation Bureau. So all the work that was done in the area of safety and air navigation as well. So she was recognized for that. One thing that I did not mention, which is important, every year we do issue one award, but sometimes we do issue an honorary award as well, and that can happen too, where someone outstanding has done something. It could be a little bit outside the where we're only entitled to come up with one award, but someone a little bit outside of what the terms of reference are, but has done something extraordinary. So we issued an award, for example, for an honorary award for someone who's done some incredible work on for victims of accidents, for family victims, and how much they've been advocating to put in rules at different countries and different states on providing services and support, whether it's from the airlines or whether it's from governments, to families of victims from accidents. So, as I mentioned, there is quite a few award recipients out there, and right even from the early days of Gloria Heath as well, and who definitely a pioneer in aviation safety for women, a woman pilot as well, and what she has accomplished. She's been awarded as well, Jerry Lederer as well. So there's a whole bunch. And then, John, you want to name a few?
Well, you mentioned Jerry Lederer. I got to tell you one of my Jerry stories. I visited with him out in his home in California. And I don't remember exactly when, but I think it was in the late 90s. And in the course of conversation, he says, "I got something to show you." And he got up from we were in his living room. He got up and walked into the house, and he came back and handed me a glass case, an 8x12 or something like that. And it had a piece of the fabric from the Wright Flyer. And when I held that in my hand, I honest to God, the hair in the back of my neck stood up. I was in awe that he had this piece of fabric. It was just unbelievable.
Incredible.
Yeah, he was quite a guy.
We also had So John, you were in 2020, the most recent.
Peggy Gilligan.
We had, of course, General Dick Cody, U.S. Army retired. He was in 2022. We had Cameron Ross from the Bars. He was involved with the Flight Safety Foundation's Bars program. That's a basic aviation risk standards program. That's another good podcast story to get. David Anderson, who runs a BARS program, to talk a lot about the not only the audit program, but all the different type of operations that they do these audits on, which is quite fascinating. We had from in Asia, we had Mr. Tay Tian Guan, from the Civil Aviation Authority of Singapore. Of course, Peggy Gilligan, and she's part of the foundation board as well. She was the founder and leader of CAST and ASIAS. So she was recognized for that. And that was in 2017. Yeah, she was in 2017. So Nancy Graham was in 2016 or 15. And others, Ken Smart, for his contributions to aviation safety. He was part of, I guess he led, or he was part of the UK ACTS investigation branch.
I knew Ken Smart very well, and he was definitely a gentleman and an awesome, aviation safety advocate.
Yeah, I knew him as well too. He was quite a guy.
We had Bob Sheffield as well. He was with the International Helicopter Safety Team, and he did quite a bit of work there. John Cox, Captain Cox, as well, for his work on loss of control. We also have had... Harold Demarin. He was with the Nigerian Civil Aviation Authority, was a member of the board as well of the Flight Safety Foundation. I remember him, and he's still active, not with the board, but he's still active in the region, in the African continent.
It's tough to leave aviation.
Sorry?
It's tough to leave aviation. Once you get infected with the aluminum dust in your blood, it's over. You can't go far away.
You know, I left. I retired from my KO, and I had to retire because at my level, the positions are termed. So then I termed out. I retired from ICAO, and my wife thought everything's going to slow down because I was working 60-hour weeks, if not longer, 7 days a week. And then I promised I would take it easy. And then I got picked up by the Flight Safety Foundation. And I said, I'll only work part-time. And just anything that they mention, any project, anything that they're working on, I just keep saying, okay, I'll do it. I'll help. Next, I'm working full time again now. So, but you know what? It's a hobby. It's just, I never considered it to be work. Aviation is just, I enjoy it. So I don't pick up a novel. I don't read books. I read technical manuals. I don't know. I just like reading technical stuff in magazines and or journals. And but I don't read stories.
You know, if it wasn't for certain Discovery Channel or History Channel programs, I wouldn't even need a TV.
Yeah.
I need a library card. That's what I need.
Technical. Before we go off this subject, you mentioned it briefly before, right? You didn't want to talk about yourself, John, so you don't have to talk about yourself. Greg and I will do that for you. I just want to use you as an example of what Greg was saying earlier, that awards for one-time heroic events are fine. They have their place, but safety awards are for things that usually take a long time and have even longer legs once it's done. And certainly your career has been an example of that. I mean, just this past week, twice, I've seen you mentioned in extremely prominent places. There was this article in the Wall Street Journal, which you mentioned earlier, talked about the competition, talked about your role in it, and had an excellent review of the competition. So all of you out there, please find that article. And there was a congressional hearing earlier this week where they were talking about the safety process in Boeing. And one of the experts mentioned the Aloha event and mentioned your role in making changes while you were at the board to prevent that sort of thing from happening. So here is a prime example of you have been in the trenches. You've been in front of the cameras. You've been behind the cameras. You've been the motive force behind entities and things like the aerospace maintenance competition, which is having effects that, you know, you dreamed being possible. Now we're seeing that happen. And there are hundreds of people just this year alone who are benefiting from what you've done. That's why you're an award nominee and award recipient, excuse me. So, Greg, sorry to embarrass you like that, but Greg, can you embarrass him some more?
No, I think you did a pretty good job, Todd. I think that the fact is that, you know, you should be recognized for all your tireless work, and we can all relate to your 60-hour work weeks.
You know, and I say about the kids, I work with kids a lot. I know Greg does a ton of mentoring as well.
That's right.
Right. And you know what? They get energy. I wish they would share it, though, because they wear me out with all that. I just like to have a little bit of it. I could get even more done.
And well, I want to say one thing about those kids you just mentioned. At the competition last week, we had an opportunity to meet with, I wouldn't call them kids, younger people moving up the ranks. And a couple of them reached out and said, hey, they were very, like, you know, thrilled in having people like yourself, you know, to deal with. And let me just say this. I'm impressed by the younger generation coming up. I'm impressed by the skills I saw on display. I'm impressed by the kind of drive I see in people in their 20s that I think will carry them through to their 60s and 70s. People that I'm very happy are out there, because when we're off the scene, they'll be on the scene.
Well, I think going along with that, Todd, is that we owe it to the younger generation coming up behind us to be mentors, to be examples. One of the questions I'm asked all the time is, who's coming up behind you to do what you do? And that's a hard question to answer, because while a lot of people are interested and say they have an interest or they want to do it, it's all about the passion to actually do it and then stay with it, even when it's challenging, even when it's difficult, even when you're working 60, 70, 80 hour a week.
Well, I think that's a good place to end this. And or to pause it, I should say, because you're coming back, Henry.
It'd be my pleasure.
You got too much knowledge to leave sitting up there in the frozen pot.
We all do. It's just a matter of just sharing, right?
And to get it on the record. I mean, these digital files are going to last a hell of a long time. So we got to get it on the record. You're coming back. And I don't care what you're
wearing. My pleasure. No problem.
Well, Henry, I just want to say on behalf of myself, and I know John and Todd, that one, we appreciate all your tireless work throughout your career. we sympathize, but we also admire your dedication and passion to aviation and aviation safety. So it's been an honor to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. And kudos to all of you for everything you've been doing on this show and all the episodes and passing your knowledge and sharing the stories and all the little extra work that you're doing of helping the younger generation as well. And passing your knowledge is fantastic. So kudos to all of you.
All right, Greg, why don't you close us out?
Well, with that great discussion, Todd, I will leave you with our second to last word.
Well, I'm just happy that you were here because you were able to put into context a lot of the things we've been discussing with our colleagues and with the people coming up for years. And this is something that takes everyone in aviation. We all play a role. And seeing the role that you played, I hope will inspire other people to take even a piece of what you've done and move it forward.
And with John, I will leave you with our last word because I know you always have a last word.
Well, and it's almost always the same. If you're going to go flying, it needs to be planned. You should plan your flight at home before you go to the airport. You should redo it again from scratch at the airport because things change. When you get out to your airplane, do a very thorough pre-flight. We continue to see accidents because pilots did a lousy pre-flight or no pre-flight, and there was something they would have caught had they done it right. And when you get into the air, put that head on a swivel because there's a lot of airplanes out there today. A lot of new pilots are in those airplanes, and you want to have your own problems. You don't want to be part of somebody else's problem. And please, please fly safely.
Thank you for checking out our show. We really value our listeners and subscribers. Our podcast gets ranked by you and how much you like it. So please give us 5 stars in your podcast platform.
We want to keep in contact with you. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, YouTube.
You can email the show at flightsafetydetectives@gmail.com. By the way, if you're on YouTube, we're really working on growing the channel, and it helps if you all send in comments. Please do that, and we read all the comments.
And be sure to subscribe. Remember, if you're in the market for aviation insurance, you can save 5% with Avemco just by mentioning our show. Visit them at www.avemco.com. That's it for this episode of the Flight Safety Detective. Until the next episode, fly safe.